Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, you know, I remember when I was in school, we always had some teachers who were, you know, they were the hard graders. They were the ones who you never got a break on. They certainly didn't grade on the bell curve or the step curve. Because we used to always joke that there were some teachers who just took the papers and threw them on the steps. And whichever step they landed on, that's what grade you got. And in fact, one time, I've been out of school a long time. In fact, I'm sure the teacher that I had, Miss Smith, I'm sure she is long retired. But another kid and I switched papers just to see if we would get the same grades that we always got, and turning in different types of work. And oddly enough, we did. We got the exact same grades. My paper got the A that I gave him. His paper got the C that he gave me. And yeah, because I wasn't a great student, to be honest. But I had this kind of, you know thing. I was a dumb jock at the time, and it was what it was. So the question becomes, you know, is grading subjective? Is it hard numbers? Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, you know, is hard grading a good thing? And is there a soft bigotry to hard grading? I've asked Nancy Flanagan to come talk with us. She is an educator, one of our badass teacher friends, and also fantastic blogger at teacherinstrangeland.blog. Nancy, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, hi. I'm happy to be here.
So, you know, I know grading's not, you know, for kids isn't, you know, a really sexy topic, but it's one of those things that's always made me wonder, you know, how all teachers come to their styles. And like I said, there's some who, you know, did it on a bell curve, some who were, you know, strict by numbers, and some who just, I think, threw it on the steps.
Well, it's a sexy topic for teachers. So it really is. Assessment. Grading has come a long way since the days when you and I were in school. There's a rich conversation among teachers right now about what we're trying to do when we put a grade on a student. Are we looking at their effort or at their growth or at the overall quality of their work? I think we're a lot more thoughtful these days about how we assess students' work, with the idea in mind that what we tell them and what feedback we give them is how they're going to improve. It's not about comparing one student to another student,
right,
but about nurturing learning.
Interesting.
For kids.
Because, you know, when I grew up, and obviously when we were in school, it was all about you achieved these grades, and this, you know, was all about your work. Now, understand, and I'm the first one to admit this, grades weren't as important then as they are now in a whole bunch of other things. I mean, school funding was never tied to what kind of grade I got on an English test or if I passed the test. Now we heap so much on these grades and these assessments that to me it's just too much. So, you know, I keep coming back to this, you know, this idea that it is a bit too much of what we've done. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like I said, we've heaped so much on these tests, and there's so much, you know, we like to call it accountability, but it's just one of these weird kind of scenarios where the weight of the world is on these kids who are really, who are just trying to do their best, and we really Nancy have saddled the world, the weight of the world on these kids through these assessments. No,
no kidding. They have become critical, and we're judging schools. Our realtors are out there saying this school did 0.4% better, and so your kid is more likely to get into a competitive college and make, you know, $1.6 million more. And it's a much higher stakes process now. And we have let that happen. There isn't a whole lot of pushback against that. So every time I hear someone talking about grade inflation, it's just, I think, yeah, well, maybe we're doing a better job. And maybe that's why grades are getting higher, you know, not We don't have a situation where someone has to fail. That's what the old method of grading and you know, you trading papers with your friend. There was a teacher back there saying, well, this kid is excellent and this kid is mediocre. And boy, these papers show it without even really paying attention.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit, I tell my kids this all the time. I was not just mediocre. I was subpar on the level of not even subpar, but completely disinterested. And I was, I'll tell everybody, I graduated with a 1.7 grade point average out of high school. I went on to college, though, eventually, you know, bachelor's, master's, 3.8 grade point average through those things, because I got it at that point. I realized that, you know, it wasn't something I had to do, because I fought it. I fought the whole, you have to go to school, and you have to do this, and you have to good grades. You know, I fought it through high school. Fortunately, I turned it around a little bit. But, this is one of those things where, you know, the teacher knew that, you know, I wasn't going to get an A, but it just was what it was.
There are kids. I mean, I've had students who were motivated by grades, highly motivated by grades, and who couldn't cope with anything less than an A.
Yeah.
And that's a little scary, too, because a whole part of school is learning to not be good at some things and what those things are and how you can improve.
Yeah, that's my youngest daughter. She's focused on her grades and like you've said, you know, I want her to say, you know, education's about learning. It's a total body experience, all this stuff. Grades are important, yes, but they're not the end all. And this is where, you know, I come back to your article. You've written this piece on the soft bigotry of hard grading. And I'm curious what you mean by that.
Well, there's a report that just came out from the Fordham Foundation, and it's about they take a lot of data and purport to show that what it means is that teachers need to start giving harder grades, that we are just not grading kids tough enough, and so they get to college and they're not ready. And so their take on this is, boy, if we were just giving more kids bad grades, they would shape up. And I always think when I read reports like that, yeah, you would have when you were in high school, because you were a straight A student or you were headed off for one of the Ivies. But for many kids, a bad grade is the end of effort. Especially if it comes near the end of the marking period and they realize, oh, well, that C that I was cooking along with, well, now I'm probably going to fail the class. And then they just check out.
Right.
I've had lots and lots of kids who were like that. So the idea that we have to crack down academically and we have to give kids bad grades because they're going to shape up and they're going to put forth a lot of effort, not so much. I don't think that's true at all.
But here's the thing, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. I remember as a kid there being a lot of kids sweating out the end of the year whether they were going to make it to the next year or not. and look, I knew a bunch of kids who were held back. They had to redo, you know, certain grades over again. Fortunately, as bad as a student I was through high school, I was never held back, and you know, I did the minimum to get by. But I knew a lot of people who did. They lost a year here or there, some even two. And I've often said that, you know, we don't do that much anymore, at least in the district that I'm in. It doesn't seem that they do it very often. And my fear is that we just keep passing kids along, that they end up being, you know, just, you know, not that bright as adults.
Yeah, well, I agree that there are a lot of kids who are passed along before they learn, you know, what they need to be, you know, successful contributing citizens. But I'm not sure that failing kids or giving them bad grades is the right way to go about it. Again, for some kids, it would be a knock upside the head. You know, they would get it right away. But, I mean, even, you know, your example of yourself, you were, you know, not such a hot student, but when you got to college and the world started to make sense to you and you developed some goals, well, then you were working and you were succeeding. So what do we do when that happens with kids who are 14? Do we just kind of, you know, lay the bad news on them, or do we offer them some encouragement or some support or some supplemental instruction?
And that's the question. I mean, to me, I don't know, and that's why I'm asking you. Do you hold them back and hope that they get it by redoing the same courses and catching up and giving them the extra year to catch on? Or do you just keep pushing them along and hope that, you know, they are me? Because I'm kind of a unique situation. The first 8 years of schooling, I did really well. I went to Catholic school, got a very good education. When my mother passed away, I moved in with my grandparents, and my grades went right to C's and D's.
Oh, yeah.
And I basically just floated through high school without opening a book.
Yeah. Did anybody help you?
No.
Did any of your teachers pick up on that and say, hey, you know, I...
No, they tried. I'm sure they tried. But it's just one of those things. It's just one of those things where, you know, you go back to those moments, and I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did try. And I'm sure they did, you know, reach out. I knew there were a couple of teachers who, you know, kind of gave me the benefit of the doubt. And this goes back to the hard grading thing. And I do agree that hard grading is not optimal. I do. I absolutely agree. It's not an optimal choice. But I think back to this, and I go through this moment where, honestly, you know, I don't know that they had the time. We had pretty reasonable class sizes, and it is what it is. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you go. It's kind of one of those moments where you look at. And I guess I'm trying to explain it in a couple of different ways, because I had some really fantastic teachers. I had some not so great, but I had some really fantastic ones who did try. But you know, for the most part, it was about just getting on to the next class. And I guess that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Kids have to have a level of trust in their teachers before they're willing to put in a lot of hard work. So, you know, that's where you start. You don't start with it's going to be really, really hard to get an A in this class. You start with, hey, I have high expectations for you, and I think you can do this.
Yeah.
And you move from there. So I think teachers are better now, if I get to say that, than they were, you know, 25, 40 years ago. I think they're better trained. They understand things a lot more.
I'll agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll agree with that 100%. Because those evil sadistic nuns that I had going to Catholic school, if I knew where they were buried, I'd dig them up so I could kill them again.
I shouldn't be laughing. Oh, really?
No, they were horrible. I mean, you know, but here again, I got good grades because this is a very, I think back to my mother and I think back to these evil sadistic nuns. They literally beat good grades out of me. And I'm not advocating for that now. I'm not saying we need to beat kids because I still have the repression and the scars that go along with the good grades.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some things to discipline that I'm not sure where I fall on this stuff.
Yeah, well, discipline is not punishment, you know. Discipline is encouraging kids to knuckle down and buckle down and put some effort into it and finding a reward in that effort. That's what discipline is.
Okay. So you're not saying that the encouragement and the encouragement and the affection that they were giving me was at the end of that stick that they were beating me with.
Well, I can't speak for that. I'm a public school kind of gal myself, but yes, I think teachers get it better today than they did before, and the law is on that side. You know, teachers really don't get away with much anymore. Just the advent of cell phones in the classroom has changed a lot of that. The teachers have to.
Yeah, you're always on. You're always on tape. But here's the thing: our culture has completely changed from when I went to school in the 70s. And 80s until now, because if I had to come home and said that, you know, the teacher smacked me or anything, my mother would have smacked me. That's just how things were then. And we've become a much different society. And I'm not saying that's better or worse. I'm just saying we're different.
Yeah. Well, the advent of the helicopter parent, that's something most teachers, although a lot of teachers would much rather have parents hovering around than not showing up at all. So.
And ultimately, is that kind of the problem that you see with you know, some of the people who are falling behind, that there isn't that kind of push from home? Or is that just a stereotype?
I think it's a stereotype. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't some places where that's true, but, you know, I used to work in Detroit with teachers there, and they never talked about the parents being, you know, careless or not caring or not showing up at school. The parents had so many problems just, you know, keeping the lights on and food on the table that, you know, if they didn't show up, I really don't think.
Yeah. So how much of it, I wonder, is socioeconomic and how much of it is what it is? I mean, you got to wonder. But Nancy, I appreciate the thoughts. I appreciate the time. You know, I hope people will check out your report. Make sure you check out Nancy's work over at Teacher in Strange Land blog. We'll get links out at thericksmithshow.com. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.